as I understand it, and we'll get to the source in a moment, of this reproductive choice campaign, or the RCC as they call it, is to make abortion impossible to ignore or to trivialize. And they claim, or they make the claim, that a large majority of Americans now oppose a pregnancy termination. Certainly they feel in the second and third trimesters of pregnancy, and especially if performed by, and the Republicans have come up with this expression, partial birth abortion. That is not a medical term. It's a political term. But a smaller but still substantial majority support a right of abortion. Where do you stand on the issue? Have you seen any of this reproductive choice campaign? Have you seen any of these trucks? And how do you react to them? I'd love to hear. Where do you stand, then, on a woman's right to determine whether or not she should have a child or needs have a child? 866-570-KLAC. 866-570-5522. Having said that, I hope I've done it a justice. If not, I've got the executive director of the group who can set me straight. He's Greg Cunningham. Good morning. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
What kind of reaction have you had thus far to the campaign, to the trucks?
It's been quite mixed, as one might expect. In fact, it seems to me that the reaction on the freeway mirrors, in some sense, the state of public opinion on abortion. People are conflicted. There are looks of stunned disbelief. If I had to identify the predominant reaction, people are stunned, they're shocked. You can see their mouths fall open, their eyes widen. Sometimes the reaction is indignation, resentment, anger. Sometimes people are very supportive, and they express that support with a thumbs up or some other affirming gesture.
Not always the thumb that's up.
Not always the thumb, and we call that the digital divide. Sometimes people...
Why is it that I find, with the word divide in mind, that very frequently, and I have a couple of people whose names you would know in mind, who are so vehemently in opposition to anyone being able to terminate a pregnancy, have had abortions themselves, and then they see the light. How come when we have, for example, a much-respected man in Ronald Reagan signing the most liberal abortion bill in the entire nation when he was governor of the state of California, getting to Washington, and all of a sudden, the most vocal opponent ever to occupy the White House?
Well, there's nothing unusual about that sort of conflict, that sort of internally inconsistent position. Thomas Jefferson, one of the great presidents of the United States,
mm-hmm.
Was passionate in his stated opposition to slavery,
mm-hmm.
and he owned slaves. I mean, there was an enormous inconsistency in what he claimed to be his attitudinal opposition to to slavery, I should say, and then the fact that he not only owned slaves, but he declined to set them free in his will at the time of his death. So that sort of conflict is not unusual at all. The mind tends to justify what the heart desires, but we want there to be a debate in this country on abortion that is well-informed, and there is no debate, and to the degree that people do think and talk about this, there tends to be an enormous amount of confusion, and the word abortion has lost almost all of its meaning. When I say that word to the average listener, typically people recall to mind some vague abstraction like choice or reproductive freedom, and we've got to forge a consensus as to who this baby is and what abortion does to him, if there can be that sort of meaningful dialogue. But people typically don't want to think about this, they don't want to talk about it, and if we're going to educate people, and there's a great deal of confusion, most people think the embryo and early fetus are mere blobs of tissue, and they...
I've never, ever, ever in all my years in radio, and this has been one of the main themes that's been discussed year after year, ever heard a person refer to it as a mere blob.
Michael, I could bury you, and in fact, if you give me an email address, I will bury you in quotes from...
And I will bury you with ideas about how you've abused the word pro-life, which...
But please let me finish the
please.
Thought. Don't take my word for the fact that there is a widespread misconception that the unborn child is a blob of tissue. I will again and again and again
Do you feel the same way about stem cell research? Do you feel the same way about stem cell research?
You know, I'm having a little bit of difficulty finishing the sentence that I'm trying to finish here.
No, you're not having difficulty. Well, what you're doing is letting one sentence ramble into the next one to give your entire campaign speech.
Actually, I am, because the point I'm trying to make is you don't have to take my word for the fact that the unborn child is frequently referred to in dehumanizing terms, and I would be glad to share those references with you.
I get the material all the time. I'll tell you what I would like is clarity here in a different way, technical clarity. We're getting a loud buzz on the line. Would you mind if we called you right back on a different line? Let me put you on hold. You got it? Good. Opponents, and I want you to jump in here anyway. These guys are putting trucks with the most god-awful pictures on their side of fetuses. It's a long-term project which will continue indefinitely. I gather it really got underway yesterday, but I like to be into topics as they happen or ahead of them if we possibly can. Initially, the trucks are being operated every business day on the freeway system here in Southern California. It's a fleet of large box-body trucks on whose sides are being displayed billboard-sized color photos depicting aborted human embryos and early fetuses. Do you support the campaign? Do you like the idea? Whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, and I want to get into those worlds, and what they really mean as we continue with our guest, who is actually runs the Center for Bioethical Reform, as it's called. They have launched this anti-abortion reproductive choice campaign when we get him back on the line. But let me take some of your incoming calls. Steve in Encino. Steve? Nope, we lost Steve. Let's turn to Robert in Mission Viejo.
Yeah, hi. I'd just like to say, I don't think any woman who's been pregnant, who's decided either to carry the pregnancy to term or have an abortion, has taken it lightly or trivially at all.
I don't know anybody who would take it trivially at all, but that's the part of the image they want to depict of those who are pro-choice.
You know, one of the things I find to be absolutely mesmerizing about this debate is that if the unborn child really isn't an unborn child, if it really is just an undifferentiated tissue mass, if abortion really is the lesser of two evils, why are people howling to high heaven about these pictures?
Because they're disgusting.
Well, why are they disgusting? They're disgusting because they depict something that is disgusting. It's an act of violence that kills the baby. If people just shrugged and said...
Okay, let me be fair to you, and let me explain that you're back on the line. You're Greg Cunningham. We have a clearer line. What would you hope optimally would be the outcome of this campaign?
We would like to forge a consensus as to who this baby is and what abortion does to him, because all of the survey data indicate that people now in this country are overwhelmingly against late-term abortion because they believe that in the second and third trimesters of pregnancy, the fetus is sufficiently fully formed to be entitled to rights of personhood, but they don't believe that developmentally of the embryo and early fetus in the first trimester. So we'd like to forge a consensus as to who the baby is developmentally in the first trimester, and we'd like to forge a consensus as to what abortion does to him.
Are you against all termination of pregnancy?
Yes, that is not necessary to save the life of the mother.
Thank God for that one exception to start with. Saving the life of the mother in any trimester?
Yes, in any trimester, that's correct.
Okay.
But having asked that question, it's very important to be sure our listeners don't get confused about the fact that doctors never have to make a decision between the life of the mother and the life of the baby if the baby is far enough along in gestation to be able to survive outside the womb. So it's really a false dilemma, because if we're talking about an ectopic pregnancy, which mm-hmm. becomes problematic, say, at 6 weeks, mm-hmm. if the mother dies, the baby will die. And so the baby's going to die either way with an ectopic pregnancy, whether we terminate the pregnancy or not.
Is it God's will that a rape victim give birth to a child?
Is it God's will? Well, you know, as knowledgeable as I am, I don't claim to know the mind of God, but I do know that an abortion will not take a sexual assault out of the mind of a woman. It won't give her selective amnesia. It won't un-rape her. It won't undo the injury.
But that isn't what they're trying to do. She's saying, I don't want to have a child with this rapist.
And place it for adoption, and she doesn't have to. You know, the fact is she already has the child. The question
no,
is,
she doesn't
she
already
it?
Have the child. She has a fertilized egg.
Michael, now we've come back full circle to
Good.
Our campaign. We'll let people look at
you
our
You tell me
aborted
which fertilized egg can feel, think, or know anything.
We will allow people to look at our aborted baby pictures and decide whether she has a baby or not. That's very much what this is about. You've answered your own question.
You bet your life I have that if you have sex with her and she discovers she's... No, even forget that. You had sex with her and she takes a morning after pill. You're against that.
We're against killing unborn babies at any point in gestation.
I'm against killing unborn babies.
Yes, well, you see...
So is nearly every single human woman and man who's in favor of a woman's right to choose.
That's what...
We're not pro-abortion.
That's what our campaign is about, letting people look at the pictures and decide for themselves whether abortion is or is not an act of violence that does or is done... does not kill a baby.
Let's take some of the many incoming calls. Carl in Westminster, when last were you pregnant, sir?
Well, let me tell you something.
Not with that voice.
It's difficult for me to talk about this without really losing my cool, because back in the mid-50s when abortion was illegal, I worked for a company that would have fired me and would have fired the woman. I was in the process of getting a divorce. I had two kids already I was paying child support for. Now, what good it would have done for me to have been Mr. Good Guy and lost my job? I was under a medical problem already at the ripe old age of 26, which ultimately caused me to be forced to retire at the ripe old age of 50. And to listen to people like this talk like this, they don't pay my bills. I got to pay my bills. My kids, what would they have done? The two I already had. And this guy, I'm sure he believes in God. Is that correct?
I hope so.
I don't, because God doesn't pay my bills, and God will judge me if he's there, not you.
Well, you know, that's an argument that's very similar to the argument. It's an economic argument that was made in defense of slavery. And people used to say all the time, if you don't own a plantation, you don't have a right to have an opinion as to whether African Americans are human
you
beings
don't have
or not
a
human
right
beings.
To decide for my wife and me.
I'm sorry?
You don't have a right to decide for Michael Jackson or Michael Jackson's wife.
Just what white racists who defended slavery used to say about that institution.
No, that's dealing with a human being.
Yes, but they said it wasn't a human being. They said that African Americans were subhuman. Michael, you're making exactly the same
Absolutely
argument about unborn
not.
Children that racists used to make about African Americans.
But you're telling me that my having sex last night, which might or might not produce a child, is the same thing as a human being already born.
You're telling me
that I must not stop the process which might one day lead to a human being.
Abortions almost never occur before the sixth week of pregnancy, by which time a baby's heart is beating, a baby's brain is sufficiently fully formed to be producing brainwave activity that will register on an electroencephalogram. We're not talking about a fertilized egg here. We're talking about a baby with a beating heart and a functioning brain the overwhelming majority of the times that pregnancy is terminated.
Nan in Los Angeles, are you listening?
Yes, I am.
What do you think?
Michael, I get so disgusted with these right-to-lifers. If a man could become pregnant, none of this would be in discussion.
Well, let's put it this way. Men would impregnate fewer people if they were better educated and
Absolutely.
Knew more about contraception. I'll bet, Greg, you're against contraception.
Probably is.
I'm against abortion, and this is going to become a whole lot more disgusting for your caller and for your callers before this is over, because we're going to make abortion the unavoidable issue in Southern California and across the country. We're going to guarantee that people cannot go out their doors without having an aborted baby picture in their face, because abortion is not exacting enough of an emotional toll on the American culture. American society is coping with abortion by pretending it's not a baby, by pretending it's not an act of violence, and
Greg,
we're going to change that.
Nan, thank you. Greg, just so I understand a little bit further. You're a parent, I'm a parent. Would you have been against your children being educated to and having knowledge of contraception? Would you have been against their being told all about sex?
By whom? Certainly not by you, because I would imagine what you would tell them I would find to be problematic, because it's very likely that
I would
your
say
values and
that
my values
you...
are anathema to one another.
No,
so it would depend greatly on who was telling them and what they were being told.
Okay, having decided that I'm the enemy, I'll decide you're the enemy, but I don't think of it that way. I just think you're wrong.
Please,
let me give you an example, sir.
Please do not mistakenly infer from anything I've said that I regard you as the enemy. I simply believe we have different views on that issue. That doesn't make you the enemy.
Okay, you're talking about my values. I'm speaking about your values. If my child came to me and said, Dad, I need money for contraceptives, I would give him the money to get a contraceptive.
And I would not, and that means we disagree, but it doesn't mean we are the enemy.
What makes your view right? Now you're trying to save the life of something which hasn't even been conceived.
Michael, I don't think we need to personalize this. I think we can have different points of view without regarding one another as the enemy.
Good. We're speaking with Greg Cunningham. We'll speak with friend with whom we disagree. Okay, as we continue, he's the man behind the campaign that's already taken off, just started yesterday, that will have trucks all over with pictures of unborn fetuses and more. I'm Michael Jackson. What's your thinking? Our phone number, 866-570-KLAC.
On AM 570, KLAC.
It's interesting. They want to educate young people, all people, on the subject of pregnancy and abortion, but they don't want to educate the children about sex. I don't understand it. Anyway, we're trying to understand this fight to outlaw abortion, which has moved to Southern California's freeways now. There is a convoy of anti-abortion truckers merging into rush hour traffic, displaying graphic billboards showing aborted fetuses. How many trucks do you have so far, sir?
For security reasons, we don't talk numbers.
Security reasons?
The fleet is large and growing, and it's actually multiple convoys. It's not a single convoy.
Where does the money come from?
Individual donors, and we'd be glad to sign you up if you're interested in supporting the project.
No, because I think your project's disgusting, and I would go along with some of the angry calls that you have received, and you're receiving it from me right now.
Michael, do you believe in the First Amendment?
You bet your life I do. But I can still find...
Do, Michael, because I don't...
Don't give me that nonsense, sir. I believe in the First Amendment. You know something? You said the same thing three times.
Do you think we have the right to be out there with our trucks?
Do you mind if I answer, or are all these to be rhetorical questions?
No, I'm asking, do you believe we
you
have
the right to be out there? I have the right to be educated by them. I have the right to be delighted by them. I have the right to be appalled by them. I have the right to think they're disgusting.
Just wanted to settle that issue.
You knew darn well before you asked the question.
Well, I wasn't so sure, but I appreciate the clarification, because I get the impression from some of your listeners that they don't think we have a right to be out there, and deny us that right if they could.
I've got some calls that I think you should listen to. Kim, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
It's wonderful to talk to you.
My pleasure.
When I was 20 years old, I was date raped, and I became pregnant.
Oh, it was God's will that you be pregnant, ma'am.
And, I don't know. I go back and forth about that, but it was 8 years ago.
It wasn't easy. Did you have an abortion?
No, I wanted to have the baby really bad, and my upbringing was Catholic, and my older sister had encouraged me, that I didn't understand at the time, she'd encouraged me to look into it so I would know what I was choosing against and not just blindly choose against it because of my religion.
Mm-hmm.
I was upset with her, and I happened to have a book, and the first chapter did describe four or five horrific, very graphic descriptions of what abortion was, and so I got my exposure to it. And I had seen pictures, and it had disgusted me, but my own choice was to have the baby.
I respect that.
Adoption. It was a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of what I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was extremely difficult to carry a child that I knew that I didn't even want to be with the guy. I tried to tell him no, blah, blah, blah. But it was...
Well, does that, and we're both listening to you with great interest, and I think you've done amazingly the right thing, because you followed through on your conviction and you gave the child up for abortion. That supports what Greg is saying. However, do you feel you shouldn't have had the right to terminate that pregnancy if you wanted to?
I am pro-life for myself, but I would vote pro-choice, because unless...
I respect that.
I'm very angry with this man, because unless he's ever carried a baby within his womb from someone who forced themselves upon him, then I don't really feel like he has the right to tell everybody else in the country what to do with their bodies and their life. I am very passionate about having a child, no matter what the circumstance was. God does have mysterious ways, and I never dare to know the mind of God. But my faith has changed five, six different times, and I would never tell another woman, don't have this baby, have an abortion, or please have this baby, place it for adoption. I did it. I survived. I'm okay. I would never,
okay,
I would
well,
encourage
you know,
her
the,
to
the problem
her heart
there
like
is that position is as illogical as my saying, I would never lynch a black man, but I don't think lynching black men should be against
I
the law.
I think this is one of the most underhanded, ill-educated
I don't want to force that morality on other people. And in the middle,
you know something, sir, this is the kind of thinking that gives right-wingers the wacko image that they have in with the majority of people in this country.
Michael,
making that comparison over and over again between slavery.
Road, I think you should encourage women, don't just be pro-birth, be pro-life.
Michael,
this baby is going to live for 18
you.
Years with these girls.
Michael, I disagree with you, but I don't think you're a wacko, and I don't.
No, I think your views are wacko.
And I don't insult people with whom I disagree.
You want me to be sweet to you? You want me to be nice to you? Then I will say to you that opponents of abortion have a wonderful way of naming their cause.
Michael,
they you don't want the answer, you see.
May
you
I
know,
speak
in the Middle
him?
East, there's a concept called honor killings, and many people in Jordan, for instance, are pro-choice. When a young woman is raped, they kill her.
We are not in flipping Jordan. We've crossed over the river, sir.
They kill her, and I think it is as barbaric to kill the child as it is to kill
the mother. But then that's a nutty view, sir.
Why are we such a violent society? Why are we so inclined to solve our problems with resort to
violence? You know something, if you want to come up with way out comparisons, I'll make a bet that you're pro capital punishment.
No, I'm in fact against capital punishment.
How unique in your campaign, sir. How really unique, cuz most of you who are against any form of abortion are generally pro capital punishment. I don't think it's a fair comparison.
The argument that somebody who is convicted of a capital crime has been tried by a jury of their peers, they've exhausted their rights of appeal, and found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, mm-hmm. which is certainly not true of an innocent unborn child guilty of no offense against anyone. But that's not my
But you
point
keep drawing this comparison. It doesn't exist.
Well, you may say that you reject the comparison, but I'm going to draw it nonetheless because every argument that you are making about an unborn child's subhumanity, lack of entitlement to rights of personhood.
No, wait a minute, sir. Greg, wait a minute. And you guys are so smooth. You show no flipping emotion of any sort. You preach the same preach all over the country. You tell the same non-truths all over the country. You're telling me that once you fertilize an egg, it feels, it thinks, it knows, it is a human being?
Does a newborn baby think, Michael?
A newborn baby thinks.
Does a newborn baby think?
Yes.
Well, no, in fact, it doesn't think in the sense that it can play chess or work differential
equations. Did I say it works differential equations? Did I say it plays chess?
You can place the bar high enough that you can guarantee that the child cannot get over it, and that's exactly what racists used to do with African Americans.
Kim hung up on us.
Deny them the right to... They would say, if you're illiterate, we're not going to give you the right to vote. And, oh, by the way, we're going to make sure you remain illiterate by not giving you equality of opportunity in education. They tried to pick a criterion that they knew African Americans couldn't fulfill.
Would you do me a favor? Please shut up in one area. Would you please stop talking about adult human beings? We're talking about people having sex and getting pregnant.
So you're saying it's the age of the person that entitles them?
I'm not talking about people.
And that's exactly what the Ku Klux Klan says when they refer to African Americans.
You can't get off it.
We're not talking about people.
You can't get off it.
African Americans are subhuman, and Native Americans are subhuman, and Jews are subhuman, and that's the way Hutus feel about Tutsis in Rwanda, and it's the way Serbians feel about Albanians in former Yugoslavia, and it's the way many feel about Jews
this
in the Middle East.
Will
the
never
story,
be resolved by this kind of incredible, nonsensical, illogical, atrocious comparison that you're drawing. But we'll listen to more of it. We're going to be exposed to a lot of it. And I've just noticed, by the way, not a single call has been supportive of your point of view. Not one. Even the woman that was date raped, who, bless her, hung up because she should have hung up. Because she'd been heard and she couldn't stand what you were saying. Our phone number, 866-570-KLAC, 866-570-5522. Again, he wants to educate you. about the ills of abortion, but he doesn't want you educated about sex.
No.
I'm Michael Jackson. This is Southern California's AM 570.
AM 570 KLAC.
And listening to and sounding off with Greg Cunningham, a man who lives, I gather, in Yorba Linda, who has taken the fight to outlaw abortion very recently to our freeways here in Southern California. They have a convoy of anti-abortion truckers merging into the rush hour traffic, getting quite a reaction. If I'm wrong in my description, sir, please correct me. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You're so peaceful and peace-loving. Isn't it true that your teams wear SWAT body armor and carry military-style ballistic helmets in the cockpits during the convoys?
Yes, that's correct. That's a consequence of our having been assaulted, of our having been victimized by death threats at the University of Kansas, where we displayed these pictures.
Oh, you mean doing the kind of things that your people do at abortion clinics?
Well, you know, the folks who oppose globalism and who frequently protest at the G8 economic conferences around the world are being victimized by a small handful of very violent activists who, very much like the Black Panthers during the 1960s.
You keep on bringing in black. You keep on bringing in black. Forgive me, you're the ruddy racists. You are the anti-humanists. You are the racists.
Michael, may I finish the sentence?
Because it's...
The point that I was going to make was racists often blamed Martin Luther King very disingenuously for the violence of the Black Panthers. They knew that Martin Luther King rejected violence.
In these trucks,
they
have a two-man contingent of off-duty police officers accompanying them in unmarked police-style vehicles.
Yes, it was a convenient rhetorical device to attempt to gain tactical advantage by imputing motives to people who had repudiated violence, as we have.
Oh, I'm sure you have. Bernie, good morning. Good afternoon.
I don't know, Michael. I think I've bitten through my tongue three times. Let me begin.
You'll end up with a British accent if you do that.
Let me begin by saying three things to Greg. Number one, I'm totally and unequivocally upset because I happen to be black American, I happen to be Catholic, and I don't even agree with what my Pope says about abortion and sex, et cetera, et cetera. How in God's name can you drive these trucks down the streets with all this diabolical stuff and show them to people, and then while you're on the program, sitting around talking about blacks and how you're going to compare that to what's happening in the black experience. I happen to be black. I'm offended, and I don't think it has anything to do one with the other. You are blurring the lines.
The fact that I disagree with you on that point doesn't offend me. It just means we disagree with one another. But my question for you is, if abortion is okay, why is it a bad idea to give people a chance to see it?
Because you're not telling the truth. Just as you drew comparisons by taking an example and saying...
Michael, in what respect am I not telling the truth?
You are not telling the truth. First of all, it is not against the law to terminate a pregnancy.
Nor have I said it was.
But you're trying desperately hard to make poor... This man we're speaking with, I happen to know who Bernie is. You deal with many very young people who have caused children to come in this world unwanted.
Every single day, Michael. Every single day. I see the horror of it.
You're a
probation
officer. I see
14-year-old girls with cervical cancer because they have been pregnant or been involved with sex and all of that and wanting to have abortions, etc., to save their lives.
To save their lives. Well, you and I are in agreement then. If the issue is abortion to save a young girl's life, you and I are in total agreement. But the overwhelming majority...
But not in the case of rape.
...parenthood admits have nothing to do with saving a young girl's life. They are induced abortion, purely elective, being performed as a matter of convenience. The mother simply doesn't wish to be pregnant, so she kills the baby. And that's what
doesn't
our...
Doesn't kill the baby.
The Supreme Court has said unanimously that abortions are legal. So regardless of the lady's decision as to what happened and how it happened, it is none of our business. The Supreme Court has said it is legal.
It's legal for you to kill them, and the Supreme Court has said it's legal for me to show them.
But Bernie, see, this guy believes that if somebody gets pregnant and you terminate that pregnancy, as soon as you know that the woman is pregnant and it's her choice, that is a person being killed.
I don't buy that, Michael.
I don't buy that.
As long as you kill them, we will show them.
As long as we kill them. So again, you're saying that the moment she's pregnant, that, whatever you wish to call it, is a human being, a living human being, who has the self-same rights as Bernie, as Greg, and as Michael.
Let's use the stem cell research example.
You're even against that.
Extreme example. The human embryo at 1 week is being killed to harvest stem cells, the master cells.
And the human embryo
at one week,
feels, thinks, senses, knows, and has any of the rights that I have guaranteed in this country?
Michael, you don't have to talk over me to win the argument. Just let me finish the sentence.
Oh, poor Booby, you can't win. You don't have exposure. You don't have opportunity to be heard and seen all around the country. With this kind of hate. Hate. You have to be responded to.
Michael, I didn't come on your show to be shouted down. I came on to be given a civil opportunity to finish my sentence.
You see, these people are completely emotionless. They are so polished. They are so professional. They've got so much money. They've got so many trucks. They've got an enormous warehouse in which they campaign. Go ahead, sir. Take all the time you want.
Shouting down is no substitute for a rational argument. Please give me a chance to finish my sentence.
Listen to them. They are so small.
The point I was trying to make was that at 1 week, which is the age at which the human embryo is being killed to facilitate stem cell research, that embryo is only 14 days away from a beating heart.
14 days away from
a beating heart. It's only 30 days away from a brain.
30
so
days away from
brain waves that will register on an electroencephalogram.
But let me stop you right there, because the 100,000 plus fetals embryos
stem
they have, they were getting ready to destroy, but cooler heads have said, wait a minute, don't we need to look at this in light of saving lives? Don't
Bernie,
we need to look at this in light of helping people
of course,
with Alzheimer's,
Bernie.
Helping people like Dick Cheney, who has a bad heart,
Bernie,
helping anybody and everybody who this research can help, not just nationwide, but worldwide.
Bernie, the argument
you cannot
you
turn
made,
your back on that. Side.
Bernie, the argument you just made
Watch
is
it.
Exactly the argument Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor,
come off it. Bernie, don't honor him by responding. You're a guy with emotions.
Die anyway. So why can't we perform destructive research on them for the benefit, for the advancement of medical science? You're making exactly
Bernie.
The same
Michael,
argument
I'll say this and I'll hang up.
Yeah, because please don't answer him. He's not worthy of it.
To be driving trucks down the freeways showing dead fetuses.
Right, it's right. It's
Thank
God bless
you, Bernie.
Michael.
God bless you, Bernie.
It's wrong for the doctors to kill the babies. It's just wrong for us to show them. That's pretty perverse.
I'm resisting the temptation. Let's give somebody else a chance. Joe, good afternoon.
First of all, Michael, I think that they're interfering in the traffic, and the highway patrol should cite them because, you know, they're going down the freeways.
There's a lot that interferes with traffic, so yeah. I might even take his side on that one.
Yeah, okay, but the thing is that, you know, he said he's pro-life. He's really pro-death and pro-suffering and pro-misery. He wants people to bring in a child that's not normal and take care of that child for the rest of its life. And,
he wants to punish people for having sex.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. He wants them to pay the fiddler because they had a good time. You just took the words out of my mouth. But, you know, Hitler's mother wanted to have an abortion, and her doctor talked her out of it.
Well, Greg, it's your turn.
You know, the punishment that's going to occur here is already happening, and it's happening in the form of these photos, which are horrifying people and making it impossible for them to maintain the fiction that it's not a baby, that it's not an act of violence. And if your caller wishes to complain to the highway patrol, bring it on. We videotape everything we do. There are two video cameras on every truck.
You're not
one
paranoid.
Video camera on the dash of every security vehicle. No one will be able to convincingly mischaracterize anything we do on the freeway because we document every bit of it. We archive the tape. Mm-hmm. And if you want to file a complaint, bring it on.
Okay. Greg Cunningham is with us. And Rick in Encino, you've been holding. Thank you, sir.
Yes. Since this gentleman obviously believes that God does everything, it seems to me that I understand that the greatest number of abortions that occur in the world are spontaneous.
Miscarriages?
Miscarriages.
Oh, God, I can guess where you're going with this. Therefore, you're going to blame God.
Therefore, he's saying that God is responsible, and therefore God is the biggest abortionist of all.
You know, that's arguing that because people fall down the stairs sometimes, that we should be given the right to push those who don't fall on their own. Mm-hmm. Accidents certainly happen, but that doesn't that does not entitle us to victimize people intentionally.
I'm glad you kept quiet after that, so thank you for your call. Gwen!
Yes, thank you, Michael. I originally called about the price of prescriptions, but my blood pressure went up so high on this, I couldn't stand it.
I'm sorry. May I recommend the blood pressure prescription?
I don't believe that this man could possibly be as passionate about abortion as he claims to be.
Why would you say that?
He sounds like a cold-blooded reptile.
How do you...
He never gets above a murmur. He doesn't show any passion about this when people... And he's like on a tape.
Oh, but that's okay.
When we say things or you say things, he repeats again and again those same old stupid arguments.
What would you do if your daughter came to you, Gwen, and said,
I'm sorry, I
what would you do? What would you do if a daughter came to you and said, I want to know about sex? Would you educate her?
Of course I would.
If your daughter said, I don't intend to have sex, but I want to have birth control pills, what would you say?
I would say, I hope you do.
Have sex or birth control pills?
Both.
Okay.
Yes, I do have birth control.
Greg, I must ask you, what if you had a daughter who said, I want to have birth control pills? What would you say, sir?
What would I say to her?
Yes.
It would depend on her age. If she were a little girl, she would get an answer that would be very different than if she were 35. But the great thing about...
How about 16?
The great thing about these pictures is that they cut right through all of these arguments.
So you're saying she shouldn't have sex until she's 35 unless she's married?
Michael, you seem to be obsessed with sex. I came on the air to talk about baby killing, and all you want to talk about is sex.
Because, you see, just as you've misdiagnosed or misstated my interest and my concern, so I possibly have done... misunderstanding you. I thought you were genuinely concerned about the reality that we face in this country.
I'm concerned about the reality of babies being tortured to death. I want
Tortured to death.
Yes, tortured to death, and
I want
to forge a consensus as to who this baby is and what abortion does to him. And one of the reasons people are howling in protest at the sight of these horrifying pictures is because they are unassailably violent. They unimpeachably truly depict an act of violence.
Why do you think you've not been getting calls, people supporting you?
I'm sorry?
Why do you feel that so far you have not been receiving calls supportive?
I for very much the same reason that Dr. Martin Luther King said, that I don't care very much what people think about me. I care what they think about racism, and if I have to get people angry at me to get them angry at racism, that's a price I'm willing to pay. When the cult is complicit in injustice, people never want to know more about that injustice.
So terminating a pregnancy at any stage is an injustice, is an inhumanity in your eyes, and is the wrong thing.
I think induced abortion is an act of violence which kills a baby. The pictures prove that. That's why people are howling.
Show me a picture of a woman who has an abortion, a termination of pregnancy, the moment she discovers that she's pregnant. Show me a picture of that looks anything like human, sounds anything like human, feels anything like human, thinks anything like human, or is a human being. We'll take more calls in a moment. I'm Michael Jackson. This is Southern California's AM 570 KLAC.
Michael Jackson on AM 570 KLAC.
Again, let me tell you about our guest. He's a former two-term member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, served in the Reagan and first Bush administrations. He was an assistant U.S. attorney, a special assistant U.S. attorney here in Los Angeles. He retired as an Air Force Reserve colonel, a decorated veteran of the Vietnam War, all of which I respect. I have entirely different views from his on the subject of abortion. He has got the trucks on our freeways. What would these trucks do, by the way, if they weren't advertising, as they are, choice, as you call it?
They would belong to someone else because we bought them for the exclusive purpose of displaying these photos, which can be seen on our website at abortionno.org. That's abortionno.org. And, Michael, you asked me to show you pictures of babies of this sort, and if you go to our website, you'll be able to view them.
I've got them all here. We pulled them off the web. That isn't what I asked. I said, show me a woman just pregnant show me a picture of what's going on inside her that would make me feel in any way at all, or should make me believe in any way at all, that that is a human being?
Well, and again,
with the guaranteed rights?
People assaulted the humanity of Native Americans on
oh,
the frontier.
Oh, stop
they
it, sir. This is not
they
a full-grown human.
They said they were
you won't answer the question.
They said they were incapable of logic. Michael, it's painful for you to acknowledge that you're making exactly the same primitive, crude arguments that people invariably make.
Crudity is yours. Primitive is your way of thinking. To dare compare a woman newly impregnated with an adult black, or with an American Indian, or with a Jew.
The unborn child is subhuman, and racists say the same thing about Native Americans.
You won't get off it, will you?
They say the same thing.
You can't possibly logically speak about what we're supposed to be discussing.
You're making the same arguments conceptually that oppressors always make about the humanity of their victims. Now, you might not like to acknowledge that fact, but that doesn't make it less the case.
You guys are so full of it, and you're dangerous. You really are dangerous.
The truth's
Roy,
dangerous, Michael, the truth's dangerous.
If the truth is dangerous, then answer my question directly. Try and do it without drawing comparisons with human beings already born. Try.
But Michael, the comparisons are the answer. If you're going to
make
the
kind of arguments
that racists make, I'm going to call them by their proper name.
If I was to go to a doctor, I'm a woman now, okay, for a moment, and I go to my doctor and I say, Doctor, I've just learned I'm pregnant, or maybe you just tell me I'm pregnant. Will he draw a comparison with an adult black, an adult Jew, an adult victim of any sort? No, he'll tell me about what's inside my body, won't he?
Michael,
he'll tell me about what might evolve in the womb.
1 million
he's gonna go back
of the
to
Holocaust
it.
Were Jewish children, many of them newborn.
They were born.
What meaningful moral distinction can be drawn between killing a newborn Jewish baby in the death camp and killing a late-term fetus through partial birth abortion?
That is not what I said. And late-term abortions in this country number about 1,900 a year, and they're performed out of real necessity to save a woman's life. But you guys have had to dream up an expression which is political, not medical, has nothing to do with science. You call it late-term abortion.
What you just
said looks horrendous.
It's not only false, it's contradictory. In the ninth month of pregnancy, all a doctor has to do is induce labor if a pregnancy jeopardizes a woman's health. He doesn't have to kill her baby to end her pregnancy.
They only do it if they have to, sir. Only do it if they have to. But again, you see what you've done. You won't answer the simple question.
Michael, have you ever heard of inducing labor? That's all they have to do. They don't have to kill the baby to end the pregnancy.
Thank you, doctor. I appreciate it. But now answer my question.
I just
if you had to scientifically
like
answer
me. Michael, you don't like my response, so please don't say I didn't answer your question. I'm not telling you what questions to ask. Please don't tell me what answers to give.
Then I will try one last time, and we'll move on to other subjects, if you like, or other issues as it pertains to termination of pregnancy and the campaign that you have ongoing.
Or linger I'll here
try
as
it.
You will.
I'll try it just one more time. With an opportunity to say yes or no in the way of an answer, if you like. Would it be possible to convince anyone of your stand when we're dealing with a woman who's just become pregnant without having to bring in Jews, blacks, oppressed people, American Indians?
I have no idea, because my
of course you have no idea. You have no knowledge.
Michael, there's a continuity conceptually. If you're going to make the same arguments racists make, I'm going to point out that fact, and it's going to be painful for you to hear.
Is it possible? Is it possible in your eyes? Are you hung up on me?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Is it possible in your eyes that I'm not a racist?
Oh, I never said you were
no,
a racist.
No. I just want to see what you think.
Arguments racists make.
Oh, that's right. You smell like a racist. You quack like a racist. Now, I want to tell you something, sir. If there's racism in this, it is obliquely and maybe even overtly in the line of argument I'm getting from you. And if you want to defend yourself, please stay on the line. We'll cancel what we have planned in the next hour. We'll continue with this subject. You guys are dangerous. I'm Michael Jackson. This is Southern California.
Jackson.
Hope you were with us during the hour gone by. We're going to continue with the same theme because every phone in the building, even to some of our sister radio stations, are ringing off the hook. We're talking about what's ongoing, a project involving the operation of a fleet of large box body trucks on whose sides are displayed billboard-sized color photos depicting aborted human embryos and early fetuses. Initially, the trucks will be operated every business day on the freeway system here in Southern California, and thereafter, I gather, the routes will be broadened to encompass other parts of the country and maybe eventually nationwide. Our guest of the hour gone by stays with us to answer your comments and mine. He's a former two-term member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, attorney. He's the organizer of the campaign. His name is Greg Cunningham. Our phone number, wherever you're calling from, if you can get through, 866-570-KLAC, 866-570-5522. I want to make a little statement of my own about what we've been discussing and about the word pro-life. And then maybe, Greg, if you care to respond, and anybody else wants to climb aboard, we'll get into the issue further. I think that the opponents of abortion have a wonderful way of naming their cause. They proclaim pro-life. It was a very clever move many years ago, and it works on a variety of levels. Most, perhaps, because it paints those who want women to be able to have a choice as to whether or not they wish to be pregnant. It paints them as anti-life. They are pro-life, we are anti-life. Pro-life gives off the aura of respectability, responsibility, godliness, while shouting out that those who are for everything from education about sex to contraception, from concern for the life of the potential mother to the right to choose whether or not to be pregnant, we are the baby killers. And it isn't that cut and dried. And just in case there are some who buy entirely that approach and don't believe that anyone under any circumstances should be able to end the pregnancy or even the earliest stage of that pregnancy, I'd like to point out that no one is pro-abortion. You don't do it for fun. You don't do it out of a lack of humanity. You don't do it because I want to be cruel. It's done out of necessity. You may be, as it's called, pro-life. It may surprise you. So are we, those of us who are pro-choice. We are pro-life.
Greg? Michael, you've just made the same argument about abortion that was routinely made about slavery. Most defenders of slavery in the 1860s and the 1850s said they were personally opposed to the ownership.
I have never, in my career in radio, from the age of 16, sworn over a live microphone. I am closer to it now than I have ever been.
I came on your program, and I did not come on for the purpose of being shouted down.
Oh, you poor little boy. An attorney who served two terms in government, you don't know how to be heard. You don't know how to get your point across.
Michael, am I supposed to shout? When you shut me down, I waited patiently for you to finish your thought. I began to respond, and you immediately began to shout me down.
Because you came up with exactly the same line again of comparing human beings and the cruelty of human beings towards other human beings in wartime or revolutions with a child in embryo.
Michael, if every time you made a remark with which I disagreed, I shouted you down, this would be a very confusing program for your listeners.
No, you're very clear. Roy, you're on.
Yes, Michael. This is Roy. How are you doing?
Okay.
Yeah. The reason I called is that I want to let you know that I do support his right to
good.
Run.
Good. I'm glad we found
on
someone.
The highway.
Oh, yes.
He seems to have been left with no other alternative but to run these trucks on our highways.
Could you explain?
Well, I was listening to another talk show yesterday. He was a guest on, I think, an affiliate station. And he mentioned that he tried to get an advertisement placed in a newspaper, and nobody would. He tried to get something on television. Nobody wanted to run his program. And so he's left with this campaign to run pictures on the trucks.
No,
I don't see any difference between this and running a picture, say, of lynched blacks back in the 40s and 50s to advance the civil rights cause.
Okay, there we have it one more time. We have to draw the comparison. I think it's a very tenuous one. I am certainly for his right to freedom of speech, all the First Amendment guarantees, but I'm also right in saying, for myself, that I find what he's doing repugnant. I find his arguments to be fallacious. I just disagree with him. He has that right. I'm sorry he was turned down elsewhere.
Well, Michael, may I respond?
Mm-hmm.
We've made a fairly detailed study of the history of social reform,
mm-hmm.
and we discovered that successful social reformers, political reformers, invariably succeed through the skillful use of horrifying pictures, and they use horrifying pictures to dramatize injustice, and they then use those photos mm-hmm. to shock the culture, because the culture never wants to know more about injustice.
Would you like us to go back to the days when people had to go to non-doctors to terminate a pregnancy?
Michael, I was trying to finish my thought regarding social reform
really
and the use of horrifying pictures. Child labor in this country, child labor abuses, the abuse of children in factories, was mm-hmm. ended
That's
through the use of shocking photographs. And
one
what
second.
We're trying to do with these
you
pictures
want to go back
is move people.
Hey, one second. Forgive me. Mariluna, he was making a point.
What's going to happen?
What? Mariluna was saying, do you want to go back to the days of, or she's actually accusing you of wanting to go back to the days when abortion was illegal, which leads me to a question rather than making a statement. Do you believe that if you succeed and have termination of pregnancy outlawed in this country, which I'm sure you'd like to see, that fewer people will terminate pregnancies?
Oh, there's no doubt that fewer
yes,
people
there
will terminate
is.
Pregnancies. And those who terminate them unlawfully will do so predominantly through chemical abortifacients like RU486, that will be
which
not only
superbly.
Much, much safer than the old sharp curettage abortions of the 1950s and 60s, but virtually impossible to completely ban. So this coat hanger idea is mythical nonsense. It's propaganda. Even Planned Parenthood admits that in the 1960s, when abortion was against the law in this country, 90% of abortions were performed by licensed physicians, not back alley butchers. That situation is going to improve dramatically.
In those days, about 1.5 million terminations of pregnancy occurred each year. We are told. It's hard to be accurate because they were illegal.
I've been 150,000 is a much better number. And
I have never heard that figure. Ever, ever, ever.
That number ballooned to 1.5 million when abortion was legalized. And when it is again against the law, future abortions won't be performed unlawfully with coat hangers. They'll be performed unlawfully with abortifacient drugs.
Yeah, and you're against the abortifacient drugs. You're against
RU-485. Of course we're against them, but please don't argue that they are going to leave women hemorrhaging in back alleys with coat hanger impaled uteri when that is mythic sense. Future unlawful abortions will be performed chemically and more safely than the abortions of the 1960s.
There are so many calls. We better get to them. Rick.
Hello, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Very glad to have you back on the air. I don't
Thank
know
you,
how
sir.
We ran an election without you.
We lost it.
I noticed.
Well, they took it.
Yeah, that too.
They aborted honestly. It.
This, Greg, your whole very bland manner, it's amazing. It's obviously designed to create emotion and ad hominem attacks, and you know, I'm going to try to avoid that. It seems this whole campaign, I mean, you're a professional spin manager. You're not, I mean, that's how you come across. I'm very glad they've got you on this because, frankly, people, that's why you're getting the kind of response you're getting. You're so just unbelievable listening to you. The main point I wanted to make was we're a country of laws. We've been a country of laws for a long time. It's what's saving us and always has saved us. Your intention is that we follow the examples of radical religious governments like the Islamists have created in Iran and Afghanistan.
So you think we have the Ayatollah Greg?
Well, I don't know if he personally has that in his mind. I think he's really a manager for other people. I'd love to know.
Well, they won't even tell us.
Is.
They won't even tell us how
they
many
won't.
Trucks they've got. He said for I think you said security purposes. Is that
yes,
right, Greg?
Yes, that's...
Well, what are you fearful of? The liberals lining up on the horizon waiting to shoot you down? Come on.
I'm fearful of the students at the University of Kansas who smashed a car into our display and nearly ran over one of our staff members. The young man behind the wheel of that car was arrested. He now has a criminal record. He went to jail. We received death threats. We've been assaulted. those are matters of public record.
And so, not to provoke, you wear SWAT body armor, you carry military-style ballistic helmets in the cockpits during the convoys, because we liberals are so dangerous.
If you're prudent, you take those death threats seriously, and we do. The vast majority of people who disagree with our point of view on abortion are quite reasonable in other respects, and they express their disagreement in a civilized way, but there's always a small percentage of people who lack internal controls, and those people are rightly to be feared.
Okay, thank you for that call. Betty in West Covina.
Hi, Mike. This is Betty.
Yes, Betty.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell Greg that I have a 38-year-old retarded daughter who has the mentality of a one-year-old.
I'm sorry.
I keep her at home with me. I bathe her. I brush her teeth. I change her diapers, and I feed her. Without any help from anyone. I was just wondering if a few people could get out of these trucks and go into the homes for the retarded and maybe feed and change a few diapers, that they may change their view.
What you seem to be suggesting is rather akin to somebody criticizing the American Heart Association for not fighting cancer. Your suggestion seems to be that perhaps we shouldn't be trying to stop the killing of unborn children. We should be assisting in the care of people who have been institutionalized as a result of disability. We just don't think the best way to deal with a problem of disability is to kill the disabled.
I just would like to see people like you in a situation like that. And maybe there would
be a sense of emotion.
I mean,
even you cannot be
as
perverted as to wish disability on someone.
Oh, you know I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that you might grow with experience.
It's precisely what you said. I'm suggesting
an apology?
It's precisely what you said.
Would you accept an apology?
Really mean it.
Would you accept an apology?
I do, of
okay.
course.
If you understood me to the way that you claim, then I apologize. What I meant was, with experience, you might grow. And I'll document what I said. Remember early on, I asked you a question which we didn't take too much time to cover. Why was it that so many of the people who are now ardently in opposition to any termination of pregnancy have had their own abortions?
Well, simply because they now realize that violence is not the solution that they had mistakenly imagined it to be. They thought that killing their baby would in some way put this whole unplanned pregnancy.
They didn't kill a baby. They ended a pregnancy.
They now discover that they have merely substituted one problem for another, and the new problem is far more debilitating.
Do any of these people who are your allies, by the way, who, by your definition, killed a baby, do any of them think they should be brought to trial?
No, and we don't think they should be brought to trial either, but we think physicians who kill babies should be brought to trial after abortion is again against the law, because they have a sophisticated understanding of the humanity of the unborn child.
It's not going to happen.
They have a well-informed understanding of the fact that abortion is an act of violence that does kill a baby. They're not acting in a poorly informed panic. They are well informed.
You
they're
have
well
not
educated.
Received
they know
one
precisely
phone
what
call
doing, so
supportive
they
of your line of illogic.
Of accountability.
We'll continue in a moment. There are many more calls. I am looking for people who take your point of view. I am actually asking.
I would rather speak to people who don't.
Well, don't worry. They're there. We'll hear them. 866-570-5522. Time right now is 1:14. I'm Michael Jackson on Southern California's AM 570 KLAC.
This doctor won't charge you a dime.
Does this usually peak a day or two, up to three or four days afterwards?
Yeah. Sort of set the scene again, though I don't think I need to because every phone's going wacko. I mean, the fight to outlaw abortion is our basic topic. It recently moved to Southern California's freeways in a very different way. A convoy of anti-abortion truckers is merging into rush hour traffic, displaying very graphic billboards showing aborted fetuses. The campaign, I think, is now in its fifth or sixth week. It's provoked some angry calls and, as Greg said, obscene gestures from some, as well as a handful of freeway near misses and certainly howls of protest from abortion rights activists. Apparently, before launching the campaign, stop me if I go wrong, sir, you prepared yourselves by thoroughly researching traffic laws, and I'm saying this to preempt some of the calls that are waiting, by sending at least 100 preemptive letters to DAs and police chiefs throughout the region, threatening litigation if anybody interferes with your free speech rights. Accurate?
Yes, that's correct.
Want to take some more calls? I've got them for you galore. Yorba Linda, John.
Yeah, I think that this guy's not getting that much of a chance to say what he wants to say.
Oh, poor guy.
I'd like to make a couple comments. One, Michael, you said that abortion is not murder, it's ending a pregnancy. Well, let me ask you this. My mom was told to have an abortion when she was pregnant with me, and she decided not to because she believes it is murder. So if she had done that, what would have happened to me? Would I be sitting here today?
Well, a couple of answers. One is, you know, you're being facetious with that last argument. Of course you would not be sitting here if the pregnancy had been terminated. I'm very glad that your mother followed her conscience and decided to take you to full term and have a child.
So that would have been ending a life because my life...
No, but I'm trying to answer you, okay? I am very glad that your mother made the decision she did. Nobody will ever insist that she has to have an abortion. And if that happened, Greg Cunningham would be in the forefront of battling against that, and so would I.
Yes, but Michael, if the only protection granted to the vulnerable in the country, and I don't say this harshly, is your conscience, I would suggest
the laws of the land.
Substantial protection. I want the rule of law to provide protection, not merely the conscience of individuals, their caprice, their inclination, whatever that might be. And these pictures are designed to move Southern California beyond mindless generation of choice and into the realm of a very careful consideration of what it is that's being chosen.
Mm-hmm. Stacy, good afternoon.
Oh, Michael, my head's going to explode. Help me.
Mine might, too, and that's where he wins, because they have no emotion. They are just Rockford wives.
Stepford wives.
Stepford. Well, you could take any village you want.
I have been listening to you for many, many years, and I am one of your biggest fans, and I've never heard you like this. So I know he's pushing buttons, and I've never hit the redial button so many times to get through. So I have a few things I'd like to say.
Please.
The first thing I'd like to say is I would never argue he has absolutely every right to do that, but I wonder if how you would feel if I chose to drive down the highway in a great big truck that had photographs of murdered children. How about if I put a photo up of the 5 Yates children who were drowned in their bathtub, or Alex and Michael Smith whose mother drove their car into a lake, or how about those two poor little children whose father beat them to death and buried them in the Angeles National Forest and was just convicted the last week? What about them?
You know, I think that would be perhaps appropriate if large numbers of Americans were defending the drowning of toddlers in bathtubs on the theory that toddlers are not entitled to rights of personhood.
So you're not to individual rights.
If there were a great deal of confusion in the public mind about the essential character of toddlers, are they people or are they not people, then perhaps those kinds of photographs would be helpful. We have a consensus that a toddler is entitled to rights of personhood in this country. We have a consensus that drowning toddlers is a bad idea, but that kind of consensus does not exist as regards the humanity of the unborn child.
So you think that a group of cells at 4 weeks...
is the same.
...has every same right as a person who's already here.
A group of cells at 4 weeks has a beating heart. A human embryo at 21 days has a beating heart.
How about 3 weeks? How about 2 weeks? How about as soon as you learn?
It's not the age of the baby that should determine its rights of personhood.
Okay, let me ask you this.
But wait a minute, he didn't answer the first question.
Because he can't.
Because unfortunately, I got cut off.
Oh, yes, you were cut off. Anyone listening right now, he was cut off.
Begin with the fertilized egg and go into the blastocyst, a portion of the embryonic stage, then the fetal stage, then the newborn, then the toddler, then the adolescent, then the young adult.
I think you've forgotten the question.
These are all just ways of describing points in time through which human beings pass developmentally. There's nothing magic about a person's age.
Okay.
There's certainly nothing about a person's age that should disqualify them from rights of personhood.
Uh-huh.
Let's try this. Mm-hmm. Let's try this.
Good luck.
I'm trying, Michael. I'm trying. I'm just curious. If the morning after pill, which is designed to prevent implantation,
Now, wait a minute. He would say prevent a baby being
well,
born.
Well, but I'm just asking you. If until the fertilized embryo implants into the wall of the uterus,
mm-hmm.
it has no possibility to develop into a baby. Would you agree with that?
No, it's actually developing into a baby, whether it's implanted
or
not.
Oh, I
you
see.
Have a baby
so
at
if
the
I don't have a uterus, I could still have a baby.
You have an embryo at the moment of fertilization. The question then is, do you kill it or do you allow it to develop?
Well, and see, you know, you can use, I mean, to me, when you call a group of cells at 4 weeks the same, an unborn child, to me, that's what they now, when they used to call used cars, and they now call them previously owned
call
cars.
Call it an embryo, then.
It's just
that,
words, and it
doesn't
make it
so. That's the same thing as
so.
Calling a newborn, or a toddler,
because
a toddler, or an adolescent,
it can,
an adolescent.
It can survive
it's just
on its
a stage
own
of
outside
human
the mother's body.
Stacy, he's getting to you.
It's just a stage of human development.
I see. Okay, I have one more question.
Yes,
then.
Stacy.
So how do you feel just in general about masturbation? Because all that semen is being wasted, and
the
it could
poor
make
little sperm that could have made babies.
Sperm and egg are 23 chromosomal cells. They are haploid cells. The fertilized egg or zygote is called a diploid cell. It's
yes.
46 chromosomes, and at 46 chromosomes we have a human being. At 23 chromosomes,
I got a question for you. I have a girlfriend whose daughter was born short a chromosome. Does that mean that she's not a human being?
No, not at all.
But you just said she had to have 43 chromosomes.
No, in fact, I'm giving you the general definition
you know,
of haploid
you have a line
versus...
For
excuse
everything.
Me, are you saying then that masturbation should be against the law?
Are you asking me that question?
Yes, I wouldn't ask her. I respect her too much.
Well, you know, Michael, your continued resort to ad hominem, suggesting that because you and I disagree, you don't respect me, is not a point of view I share. I actually do respect you in spite
mm-hmm.
of the fact that you and I obviously
excuse me, could you answer the question?
Things,
I know it's an ugly one, but so are the pictures on the side of your truck.
No, Michael, it's not an ugly one.
Oh, it's a pretty
a silly
picture.
One. It's a silly one.
Are you
know,
against
Michael, to which
people,
you well know the answer. And
I do know your answer because
reply.
You're against
Michael,
contraception.
Michael, I'm not going to dignify a silly question
you
with
couldn't.
A reply.
Okay, Michael, I got one more.
All
I
right,
one
Stacey.
More. Greg, when you served in the House in Pennsylvania, were you there during the time they changed the law that required a 24-hour waiting period?
He was
for
a prime sponsor of the
Madam,
bill which
I
ended public funding.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I was just curious because, to me, that infantilizes women to such a degree. That particular law made me feel like you decide that women, you think that women just wake up in the morning and think, gee, should I have a manicure today or should I have an abortion?
You know, the fact that somebody agonizes over their decision to take somebody else's life.
They're not taking a life.
Okay.
If they were taking a life, the Supreme Court wouldn't have upheld it. It wouldn't be the law in the country, and people would be prosecuted and be in jail.
Stacy.
So stop calling it what it isn't.
That's what people used to say about Native Americans.
Here we go again, Stacy.
African Americans.
Here's my advice to you.
And it's what people are now saying about the unborn.
And take a debating class and learn how to debate properly with facts.
And people are saying exactly the same thing about the terminally ill. Advocates of euthanasia are suggesting that the terminally ill, people who are comatose, people who are profoundly disabled, forfeit the right to life.
On that note, let's pause again, and when we continue, I will take my question about masturbation and word it a little differently. Could you tell me why, in any way at all, being pro-life and being in the forefront of even writing laws, you would be against the dissemination of information about birth control, why you would be against condoms even, probably, but we'll find out. I'm Michael Jackson. This is Southern California's AM 570 KLAC. Our phone number, you'll never get through, 866-570-5520. Speaking with the campaign organizer, we have for just over an hour and a half now, he's Greg Cunningham. I've just found a line in Thursday, July 26th, today's Orange County Register of yours. You call this, in effect, guerrilla marketing, using the trucks as a uniquely California way to reach a captive audience stuck in rush hour gridlock. You're quoted as saying, Mr. Cunningham, we're a car culture here. If people are going to live in their cars, that's where we're going to engage them. I'm glad that we are engaging them right here and right now. Why would you be against contraceptives?
Michael, your apparent obsession with sex is making you sound like a dirty old man. I didn't come on here
you're
to talk about
You're a flippin' idiot. You know something, sir? You're
abortion.
Educated beyond your capacity to think.
I came
now,
on
let me
your
ask
show
you a
to
simple
talk
question.
About abortion, Michael, and you keep trying
How
to change
dare you
the subject.
Say that? No, I'm not.
Well, my impression is that you are.
Well, then give me a straight answer. Are you against people taking or using contraceptives?
Of course I am not against that. I do not believe it should be against
That's
the law.
That's all you had to say?
Policy.
That's
that,
all you had to say?
If that is your question, but I came
that
on your
was
program
my
to discuss
question.
With you. I came on your program to discuss with you our truck campaign as a means of effecting social reform, using principles that are in the mainstream of social reform campaigns historically in this country, whereby the reformers
mm-hmm.
in shocking pictures and use them to dramatize injustice, confront the culture, force-feed facts into the heads of people
uh-huh.
who didn't want to know more about justices.
Mariluna, you had a question?
Hello?
Yes, Mariluna, you had a question.
Yes. Actually, I would like to, first of all, Michael, I want to tell you you're a champion of sanity, and I'm so glad you're back on the airwaves.
Thank you very much.
The other thing is that I am not going to address the whole argument of what abortion is or isn't. This gentleman reminds me a great deal of Bob Roberts, and I'm not going to get into that with him. I would like to address the whole idea of the trucks on the freeways.
Showing the pictures, really graphic pictures of aborted fetuses.
Now, let's say, I personally believe that fine art is a thing that is absolutely necessary to a person's education and to life. I believe very, very strongly in it. I also believe that gay people have the right to be whoever they are and to be out there just like anybody else. Now, if in service of this, I were to take the photograph that Robert Mapplethorpe took of a gay man having a whip inserted in a private place, blew it up to 20 feet wide, put it on a truck, and started going back and forth on the freeways with it, what would this gentleman think about that?
You would be arrested because the law defines pornography as the lascivious display of breasts, buttocks, or genitals, and so your display of genitals, if indeed I'm understanding.
Well, actually, there were no genitals in that.
No, there weren't. I don't think.
But would be pornographic.
So you're saying that it's wrong because it is
arrested.
An obscene picture and it should not be displayed, right?
Okay, well, if you think what I'm doing is criminal, I encourage you to file.
No,
a
sir,
complaint.
I don't think what you're doing is criminal.
I think
that what you are doing is obscene.
Okay, well, if you think
truly
it goes
criminal,
against community standards,
you believe it is unlawful.
And if you,
he,
and
she
you,
didn't say it was
I don't
unlawful.
Think a person should have the right to put anything out there.
Nor do I.
You should follow community standards, and what you are doing is grossing people out. You are not winning anybody to your cause, believe me.
Our purpose isn't
people look at those kind
our
of photographs and they just get disgusted.
Our purpose
and they are disgusted not by the pictures, which are inaccurate, by the way.
No,
I've seen those photographs.
I'm trying to get a word in
those are not
here.
Photographs of an average abortion. Those are photographs of an abortion in the ninth month.
Okay. Nazi skinheads always defend
again.
The Holocaust. By saying the pictures are fake. They say the Holocaust never happened, the death camps are a myth, the photographs are altered, and so what your last caller was arguing, Michael, is precisely what neo-Nazis argue about the Holocaust.
I've tackled you on this before. I don't need to be repetitive as you are, sir, but let's take a call. David in Sherman Oaks.
Yes, Michael.
Yeah.
I am so angry with this gentleman, I don't know what to do. I can barely think. First of all, an embryo that has been with carrying by a woman for a week is not a human being.
He
it
says
not,
yes.
It is not human.
No, it is human.
No, it's not.
It does not
hey,
have right
don't
to
talk over
good.
Me. It is not human.
It's not
let me finish my point.
It's not
let me finish my
it's
point.
It's human.
No, you won't believe me, David.
Let me finish
David.
My point. It is
David,
not human.
He will win because
second,
he keeps at the same level. He drones on.
Can you skip
on.
It for 1 second?
Please, Greg,
it
would you let him make his point?
It is not human. You are nothing but a right-wing wacko Republican who is trying to take away all the rights from everybody, like all you right-wingers in Congress are trying to do. That's why this country. So
David,
up.
David, cool down.
Only
I had to
right
say that to myself.
Babies. That's the only right
well,
that
all,
you see, he knows how to
all,
use all the little buzzwords.
First of all,
he's saying
first of
you want the right to kill babies,
first of all,
which is
first,
an insult.
first of all, having an abortion is not murder, it is not violent, and I'm sick and tired of you comparing the slaves and all the black issues in this country to abortion. Are you out of your mind?
Let me agree with you partially. When you say it's not murder, that is technically correct. It is not murder because, by law, an unborn child does not have rights of personhood in this country, but as a matter of scientific consensus, the unborn child is a human being. That's a scientific objective.
No, it isn't.
Question.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
Williams Obstetrics.
No, it isn't.
Okay, you keep saying the same thing. We heard your point, sir.
Abortionno.org. No. I will send you two quotes.
I don't want to read anything from you.
Okay, we heard you.
Williams Obstetrics.
I don't want to read anything from you.
Saying that the human zygote is a human being.
Should
that's
a human zygote
question.
Have the same rights as David?
May I finish the sentence?
Yes.
The subjective political question is, at what point in the development of that human being will we as a society be willing to confer rights of personhood? And your last caller was correct. As a matter of law, we have declined to confer rights of personhood. We've withdrawn them from the unborn child.
Is there any society in this world that has a more, by your definition, appropriate approach to pregnancy?
Any society that makes elective induced abortion lawful is on the wrong track.
No, I didn't say that. I asked you exactly the opposite. Is there any
society
that we might emulate as a good example by your definition?
And I'm saying that any society that makes it lawful to perform elective-induced abortions is doing what societies traditionally do when somebody gets in our way or has something that we want. We just say that those people are not people. And once we've defined personhood in terms which exclude them,
I ask the exact opposite twice. I'll ask it one last time, because if you won't answer, maybe others will think about it and give me the answer. Can you say that there is any society anywhere in the world? My mind is open. I want to learn. Is there any country doing a better job? I'll put it that basically.
Oh,
is there any country
Poland,
in the world?
Poland is doing a better job. Germany is doing a better job. There are some countries that outlaw abortion after the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. They are doing a better job in the sense that in the United States, it's lawful to kill babies all the way through the ninth month of pregnancy.
But your point is, and in those first 12 weeks, it's also killing a baby.
Unbelievable.
Yvette, you're believable. What's on your mind?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're on the air. That's what you're supposed to say, believable and unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I like to say, Greg, I'm an African-American woman. I have two grown children who are doing quite well in this world.
Uh-huh.
I was told not to have the second one because of the problem ones I had, the problems I had with the first one, if I didn't want to go through that again and risk my life. I chose to have the second one, and I'm glad I did.
Good.
The issue here, Greg, is choice. It's my body. It's my choice.
The issue here is choice.
The
it's
issue
my
here.
Greg,
I have been very patient in listening. Can I finish saying what I have to say?
Yvette, you didn't hear what this man said.
I finish saying what I have to say.
No, Yvette, I've got to interrupt for a moment.
Okay.
I've got to stop both of you. Excuse me, sir. Greg, I will do what I never do. I will cut you off if you don't let me say what I've just heard you say.
I will pause and allow you to continue. I mistakenly imagined that when you paused that you were inviting a response.
Fine.
So just please,
Greg, I heard what you said, and you should be bloody ashamed
of
yourself.
What did he say?
Why don't you repeat it to her?
What did he say?
About blacks. Go on, repeat it.
You know, the very same argument that you are making, apparently, about abortion is an argument that was routinely made by people who owned African Americans.
Oh, honey, let me
owners,
tell you something. Let me tell you something. My grandmother was a slave. I'm 53 years old.
No, he's not talking over. She's a human. Unlike you, sir, she has emotions and she's responding.
I'm responding to you. My grandmother's mother was a slave, okay? And I'm 53 years old and I went to a segregated school. The concerns of the people who appeared to support non-abortion rights the same concerns that kept my grandmother a slave.
Segregation.
Hold it. I listen to you. You listen to me. The reason the majority of African-American people in this country did not vote Republican is because they know your concern for a child, as you call it, stops the minute it draws its first breath.
Look
if
at
it's
our
not
pictures,
right,
perhaps
if
you'll
it's not
change
rich,
your mind.
If it's not Republican,
look at
if
our
it
pictures,
doesn't vote a certain way,
look
and
at
if
our
it
pictures,
doesn't have certain criteria that you feel are appropriate. As I started this out, before I too, sorry, Michael, got ticked off.
Look at our pictures.
As I started, this is
mind.
Choice.
Okay, we heard
right,
that, sir.
But no. I will retain my choice, and if you really are concerned for children. There are so many black, white, and every other color alive who are in need.
You know,
focus your attention on
that. You know, ma'am, I'm starting to feel that you're afraid to give me an opportunity to respond here because every time I begin to speak,
you poor persecuted little. You've been on the air for an hour and 43 minutes.
You know, you can both shut me down if you wish. You can both shut me down and deny me an opportunity to respond if you wish.
It's all part of the campaign.
Segregation in education was ended in this country largely as a result of the fact that the dean of Howard Law School, a very excellent black law school in Washington, D.C., went south and made films of the deplorable conditions under which African-American children were being educated.
No, it wasn't a person.
He showed those
films.
It
was the humanity of
all
American
Yvette,
people.
You know,
he's got you shouting.
Mostly
again.
Black, but also white.
Are you afraid to hear what I have to say?
No, we're bored with it, sir. We've heard from her. Yvette, thank you.
When people saw those pictures, they had to accept the fact that separate was not equal. They had to accept the fact that African-American students were being mistreated, and it was the pictures that dramatized the injustice and galvanized public opinion against segregation in schools.
Yvette, don't answer him. It isn't worth it. Kayvon in Orange County. I'm Michael Jackson.
I love you, Michael. I just
Thank
want
you.
To say you're my hero, first of all. And this gentleman who came here to California, I don't know, his trucks or whatever, he's the one who's mindless. He doesn't understand what is going on in this country, and he's a manipulator. He never answered a direct question. And you know who it reminds me of? The character of Kevin Spacey in film 7. And that's all I need to say, and I'm out, Michael. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll take more calls in just a moment during our final section of the program for today. Our guest is the man behind the whole campaign. He runs the Center for Bioethical Reform. Sounds so nicely American. But he served his country well and honorably. He is very much convinced that his approach is the correct one. I am very much convinced his approach is not. Based on the calls, I don't think in the past nearly 2 hours there's been one completely supportive, only of his right to show these disgusting pictures on the side of trucks. Just what we need. I'm Michael Jackson. This is Southern California's AM 570 KLAC.
Michael Jackson on AM 570 KLAC.
Okay, final section with Greg Cunningham. He is the director of the Southern California-based Center for Bioethical Reform. They have the convoys on the freeways. They start at about 6 each morning at the group's 12,000-square-foot warehouse in Santa Fe Springs. They keep the location secret for, as he said, security reasons, just as they won't tell us how many trucks or where the money comes from. The signs show bloody embryos and fetuses with fully formed limbs and chest cavities, saying that they were abortions occurring anywhere from 7 to 11 weeks of gestation. And on the side with these graphic pictures, it says the word choice. Greg Cunningham still with us. Let's turn to Laurel in Bellflower.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a point that if a woman is carrying a baby and something happens, whether she takes drugs or if someone shoots her and kills the baby, everyone gets all upset. But nobody gets upset if she chooses to terminate a pregnancy.
Yes, because she didn't make the choice when it was a murder. I mean, she doesn't say to somebody, shoot me in the stomach and kill my child in embryo. I'm not sure if Greg and I would disagree on that, but I doubt it somehow.
Michael, if I could just shift for a moment before we run out of time, I want to congratulate you on your new show. I want to wish you well, and I want to thank you for having me on. But this idea of choice is what genocide is always about. It's about somebody who is a person legally being given the right to decide that some other human being is not a person legally, and then as a matter of personal choice, brutalizing that victim. And you don't like the analogy,
nope,
but that's precisely what has happened again and again. Every campaign of genocide, whether the victim was African American, Native American, Jew,
you needn't go through the whole litany again, so
whatever. That campaign of genocide was preceded by a rhetorical assault on the humanity of the victim.
Trying to treat this as a fair and honorable comparison, which I do not, and you've heard me say I don't over and over again, I'm sure we would agree that when genocide is practiced, it's pretty well organized by those at the helm. They are people with an agenda. They are people with a desire to eradicate other people. Do you really believe that liberals, or any people, liberal or conservative, who happen to be supportive of the laws of the land that let women terminate a pregnancy, have a hidden agenda?
You know, you're not entirely correct in your definition of genocide, because historians universally regard slavery as a genocidal institution.
Back to that again. Could we generalize for a moment and say that pretty often when a mass of people are killed, somebody is at the helm and has an agenda?
And that was not true of slavery, where slavery was a matter of personal choice. Slavery wasn't mandated by the government. The government didn't obligate people to own slaves. The government didn't finance the ownership of slaves among those who were unable to afford to own their own slaves. And yet slavery is universal by ethicists and historians as a genocidal
institution,
because between 13 and 20 million people of African descent died as regards slavery.
I think you should be ashamed at drawing this comparison over and over and over again. I will tell you, as a technique, it works. It irritates people. It angers people. It makes them become emotional. I'm one of them.
The pictures
because
are
you never
a better
do
way of making my point, because...
Well, I want to tell you something, sir. They ban billboards on the freeways. Is that against your First Amendment rights?
I apologize for missing the first part of what you said.
Forgive me. They have certain controls over the number and presence of billboards that are seen from freeways.
Correct.
Is that all right and appropriate to you? Or should any ad anywhere on any freeway be accepted? And I want to tell you, you don't even need to answer.
The answer is no, because I've already conceded that material that is by law pornographic should not be displayed. If it is displayed, the people displaying it are vulnerable to criminal prosecution.
I didn't talk about pornography. I just said billboards. Should they be able to have as many as they like next to the freeways?
I would say, as a matter of zoning, no. Unless you're going to tell Burger King that they have to take their giant hamburger photograph off the side of their truck, which incites the PETA vegan meat is murder crowd who regard beef as genocide, then we're not going to take the pictures off the sides of our truck.
Jack, it's your turn.
Okay, that was the issue I was really concerned about. With the business of billboard advertising, people having something to sell can't sell them on billboards on the side of freeways.
You see his point? Actually, I didn't intend to preempt what you were saying, and it's quite coincidental. He obviously feels that you shouldn't be able to do what you are doing. But you legally have that right. Shane in Huntington Beach.
Hey, Michael. Mr. Jackson.
Michael.
Nice to hear you. I've been listening to you a long time, and today I actually have to say I disagree with you.
Good.
A lot of your callers today haven't impressed me that have sided with you with their arguments, and your generalization of those of us who... I have to agree with you on the one thing, that the trucks, to me, seem over the top.
But that's okay. Things can be over the top,
but
all right?
I think these arguments about... I mean, I'm Catholic. I had premarital sex many times. I'm not a Bible-thumping Protestant type. But the root of the problem is for some reason, young women, and I've known a lot more recently probably than you have, that have had abortions and have chosen not to also.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason,
mm-hmm,
somewhere along the line, they think something's wrong with adoption.
Well,
and I don't know what, I can't put my finger on it. I know a lot of people have bought into this stupid Malthusian overpopulation.
Well, Greg, you've obviously adopted many people. How would you respond to him?
Tell me, Greg.
You know, the lines to the waiting lines to adopt children in this country are so long, people are going overseas to third world countries.
No, it's
and
because they
$20,000 and $30,000 brokerage fees to adopt children.
How many children have you adopted, sir?
You know, I've never owned a slave, and I've never adopted.
And there
a
we
child
have to draw the comparison.
I can't adopt
that would be enslaving,
country, Michael. And I can't adopt them because the waiting line to adopt children is so long that people are being forced overseas. And if they're not people of substantial financial means, they're not going to be afford the brokerage fees.
Max, he's yours. I'm Michael.
Michael, how are you? Greg, you know something? Answer this question directly. You want to save all of these fetuses and embryos for whatever purpose you have. Do you support, and answer this directly, do you support the increase of social programs to make these kids' lives better, or are you just simply some pro-survival right-winger?
No, I very much support levels of taxation and spending on social welfare that are necessary to take care of the most vulnerable in our society. And I would add, we are a nation that spends $50 billion, that's B, billion dollars a year, on beer. I don't want to hear that we don't have the resources to take care of vulnerable children.
Then why doesn't the Republican Party support these programs?
I don't speak for the Republican Party. I speak for the Center for Bioethical Reform, and I do support them.
I don't believe you.
Well, you're entitled to disbelieve me if you wish, but that's the plain truth.
You have not answered us. I have listened for an hour and a half, and you have not answered a question directly. You are reading from a playbook. It's like going down to Herod's and picking up a mantra.
The fact that you don't like my answers doesn't mean they're not
correct.
You haven't
given any answers.
The fact
you have,
that you don't
you have
like my answers doesn't mean they're
that
not
you are
correct.
Reading from.
Okay, on that note, Max, thank you for your call. Thank you for staying on. Greg Cunningham, is there a phone number you want to give in our final few seconds?
Yes. People may reach us at abortionno.org, or they may call 562-777-9117.
We will never agree with each other, but thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me on, Michael.
My pleasure. Greg Cunningham. Till tomorrow, I'm Michael Jackson. Thanks for your company. Have a good day. Dr. Dini Dell is next. The time right now, 2:00. Bye now. God bless.